Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Continuing our study that we've been in for a few weeks, we've entitled Walk with God. As you've already figured out, there's a number of places in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, where the word walk is used, where it tells us to walk in a certain way, and that's a picture of how we are to conduct ourselves in this life of faith as we are followers of Jesus. That we just take one step, progressive, one after the other, ordering our lives in a certain way because we are followers and we are His children. So we want to think about that this morning, and I want you to think with me. You're in an airplane, and you look over at your pilot, and you see this picture. Are we building confidence at this moment? Well, we do have some pilots in the room, so I know you understand what that is. When they're training student pilots to become instrument rated, they're trying to teach them not to look out the windows to get their bearings, but to look only at the instrument panel. So you wear that, and that view of the outside is at least somewhat blocked. I think if I was a student pilot, I'd keep going like this. I don't know if I can stand that or not. Because they want to teach pilots that you have to trust a different source of reference than your eyesight. Because there's sometimes when it's dark or the weather's bad or there's clouds, you have no reference outside. And the only way you can navigate this aircraft is to look at the instruments. Because your senses and those conditions can be off. Your eyesight can be tricked, and your inner ear can be tricked, and your feeling, your body can be tricked. And you might think you're flying level, but you're descending. You may think you're flying straight, but you're in a curve. And they always teach pilots that you need to look at your instruments. Now, if we could drop some device on our heads today, that could do that in a spiritual sense. It might help us. But I don't know of any such instrument other than us just studying God's Word. And I want to take you to a little phrase that's found in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you've got it in your Bible or you got it on your device there in front of you, you're ready to go. He says in verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Today we're talking about walking by faith in this verse. And it's set against this reality of walking by sight. Now we're going to kind of break that down and see what that means and all that. But I want to just begin with kind of an overarching statement to kind of get all of our thoughts attached to, okay? And it's sort of long. I like to condense these so that they're easy to remember. But this is a little bit long, okay? Here's what we must do. If we're going to walk by faith, we must develop a daily, consistent trust in those things we must believe but cannot see. We must develop a daily consistent trust in those things that we must believe but cannot see. If you're a follower of Christ, or you're at least some aware of what it means to be a follower of Christ, you understand some things about this reality, and that is that there's much of what we believe we can't see. I'm almost tempted to say almost everything that we're called to believe we can't see. We have never seen with our eyes God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. I would say most of us probably, unless there's some unaware situation or some unusual situation, most of us have not seen any angels. Most of us have not seen those kind of things that we relate to in Scripture. And then you go back into the Scriptures. None of us have had an interaction with Paul other than through the Bible. We don't have direct access to the patriarchs or the prophets or the kings that we see in the Old Testament. All these things are outside of our ability to see with these eyes. We don't see heaven. We can't locate it. We can't fix it in our frame of reference. But yet we are called to believe that these people that we read about in the Scriptures were real and true, and what they have recorded from us by the inspiration of the Spirit of God is the Word of God that we can count on. We're called upon to believe that their future is fixed and certain for us who are followers of Christ, that there is a place called heaven, and we get to go to be with Him. And we, as we sung about just a little bit ago, that face-to-face reality of seeing Christ our Savior. What a joy. We have the promise of that our sins are forgiven if we've trusted in Christ, that His blood that was shed on the cross has washed away our sins, and all that awaits for anyone is that we would simply believe in that and trust in that and cling to that. And through that trust, that faith in what we cannot see, we are granted forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. So there's so much that we cannot see. And there's a certain audacity to our faith when you think about it. You know, you think about if you had never heard anything about Christ, the Bible, spiritual things, church, any of that stuff. And sometimes we encounter this even in our world. You try to tell someone about your faith, and you start telling them about, there's this person, that there's no pictures of them, there's no record. We have a record of a Bible that's a book that's a couple thousand years old. And everything in it is true. We believe that He is the Savior. We believe that in Him, God became man. How about just the fact to believe that there is a God? How can we prove that? We can't test that. There's no sensory evidence that we can have that we can see. But we're called upon to believe. Not only in the big picture things of life, utterly important, yes, but in the day-to-day issues of life, we're called to do this, as he says here, walk by faith, not by sight. In just the ordinary today, the ordinary ebb and flow of life, in the ordinary challenges of life, the ordinary successes in life, the plans of life, the pressures of life, in all that, he wants us to live this way. And it says right there in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I just want to share a few things of how we can put that into our understanding today. And I just give you these statements and you can jot them down or note them if you will. Number one, to walk by faith, look beyond what is visible. Look beyond what is visible. Don't ignore what is visible. Don't pretend like this isn't reality, but to look beyond it. And how do we do that? Well, right here in this context, there's a reason he inserts this into verse 7. It's one of the dangers of this sort of a topical series where I'm kind of jumping around rather than like when we did Numbers, we went all through the book, or Hebrews, or those sort of things. Because you don't have the scene of what's going on when he says this. We just jump in for the walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. We say, amen, that's a great story. But why is he talking about that? Because he's talking in chapter 5 about the fact that when we die, something happens. He says this, he says in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, that's our body, this tent, he describes it as a tent because he understands this is a temporary experience for us in light of eternity, okay? This tent is destroyed. In other words, this body ceases to live. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You don't see that. We can see this. We can see signs of age, signs of maturity and then age and decay. We know that everyone is not going to exist in this bodily form forever. Verse 2, for in this we groan. I was almost tempted for us to do some sound effects at that moment, but I thought it might set the wrong tone for the rest of the service. You know, we all groan, so we're not going to do that. Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. We long for something even beyond this groaning experience that we have that we call life, all right? If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. We're not going to be left, you know, empty and outside of something from God. Here's what he says. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. It's not we just want the groaning and the problems and the pressures of this life to end. We're looking for something better. And that's what he alludes to in verse 5. Now, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God. God's preparing something for you, Corinthian believers, all of us sitting here today, listening in today. He's prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Okay? We don't have the full experience of being in God's presence. Why? Because we are here in this visible world. Now skip verse 7 to verse 8 for just a second. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather. I love how he introduces that. We're confident. We're even pleased about it. We're excited about it. This is good news. Good news and warning coming on strong here. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So he's saying to these believers, new in the faith, haven't been taught real well. Here's the joy. This life, you have some groaning. We know that we long for something better. We understand we're not here temporarily. But when that day comes, we will be absent from this body, but we will be present with the Lord. We all know that the body, when a person dies, doesn't simply, you know, immediately go into heaven. But he says the real us, our soul, our spirit, that part of us which is not material, immediately steps into the presence of God. Now, the rest of the story, you can go back to chapter 15 of the previous book, First Corinthians, where he talks about when Christ will return someday, he's even going to resurrect the body. So there's some question, I've had debates with some of my theologically inclined friends about, well, what state are you in when you die until the body is resurrected? Do you have a temporary body, an intermediate body? What's it like? The scripture doesn't say, but here's what he does say. This is good news, because it's what he says in the verse we just read. We will have existence, but God is not content to just redeem the soul. He's going to redeem even our earthly remains someday and remake us, and we're going to have a body like Jesus' body after his resurrection. Glorious in that. Now, he understands this is out there stuff. The fact that we're going to escape this body and immediately be in God's presence. Someday the body will be resurrected, but that awaits. There's no, it's not the soul sleeps. You're not just sort of in suspended animation until Christ comes back. No, you are with the Lord and experiencing him instantly in glory. How can we capture that truth? How can we accept that truth? Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So faith has to look beyond this limitation of what we see. We start with this kind of this basic concept. There is more than we can see. For a person who is locked into life, and there are many people who are, maybe you have been, and maybe to some extent we all still are, to just believe in that which we can actually see, prove, test, be certain of. When we come to live a life of faith, we have to say, no, there's more. And we need to move beyond those boundaries, the limitations of sight, and get into the audacity of faith. And in this context of death and the soul being with the Lord and ultimately resurrection, do that. Now, for some reason, as I was studying this, I started thinking of a story that's found in 2 Kings chapter 6. And you can go read that at your leisure, 2 Kings 6. It's a story of one of God's prophets that was in Israel at that time. And the country to the north was the country of Syria. And they kept coming down sort of accosting and raiding and threatening Israel. Well, every time the king moved somewhere, somehow Israel, the king of Syria that is, the king of Israel was pre-warned where he was going to be. In fact, he says, there's someone, you know, he's basically saying, there's a spy among us, there's a mole here. And someone said, no, it's the prophet down in Israel. He knows what you say as soon as you speak it. And that's exactly what was happening. God was listening in on the king of Syria. He was telling the prophet telling the king, and they were outsmarting them. So the king of Syria decides, we're going to go down, we're going to capture this guy. Let's go down. If we get him out, if we have a tactical raid, we're going to take him out. And the prophet's servant goes out and he looks around and all he sees with his eyes are chariots and soldiers and spears and knives and swords and bows and arrows and tough military men. And they're just a couple of guys with no defenses. And rightfully so, he is scared out of his mind. And the prophet isn't scared, you know, because why? He has this sort of connection back to God. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But he prays for his servant. He says, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see beyond this barrier. He can see beyond this limitation of sight. Now, God doesn't always do that for us. I would say seldom to almost never for most of us. But just to prove that there is something beyond this, for this one instant, he says, let me give a little example here so all of us can find faith that there's something beyond. It said he opened his eyes and all around the hills filled with chariots of fire. God had the angelic armies on alert, high alert, present, ready to go if they needed protection. And then he prays and all that army was struck with blindness, and you can read the rest of the story in 2 Kings 6. We don't have access to what is going on behind the limitations, but we are called, if we're going to live by faith, to believe that there's something beyond the limitations of sight. And when sight ends, faith is engaged. All right? So just look beyond it. Understand there's something more. Number two, to walk by faith, you need to feed your mind with the Word of God. There's a verse that's found in Romans 10:17. If you're a note taker, jot that note, that reference down, Romans 10:17, where it simply says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to develop your faith? Here's God's solution. Feed yourself on God's Word. How was it that the prophet was not afraid? How was it the prophet told his servant, everything's okay? The Lord opened his eyes. Why? Because he had an ability to listen to God's voice. In the Old Testament, that was something reserved to prophets and the like. In our day, we have something better. God says, I'm going to just write it down, and I'm going to make it available. I'm going to hand it to you and just drop it in your hands and say, here it is. Now, the Word of God is not just a record of history, although it contains history. It's not just some poetic worship language, although it contains much of that. It's not just theological musings and debates, although it is that. It's not just about prophecy about what's coming in the future, although it is that. It is His Word. It is God's Word. It is living, it says in Scripture. It is living and powerful and sharp and penetrating. God says in the Old Testament that when His Word goes forth, it's going to accomplish His purposes, whatever His purposes are. It is without error. It is practical. It is profitable for all areas of life, areas that we need to correct, areas we need to strengthen, all that. It's available to us. So when we touch this, we're handling not just the leather and the paper or whatever you've got, but when we handle this, the words that it contains, we're handling divine stuff. This is how we touch the divine. And the more we read God's Word, we come to this reality that He is to be trusted. And then we need to make this personal. We talked about how it's easy to kind of believe that out there, you know, heaven's real, and Jesus is real, crucifixion's real, resurrection's real, salvation's real. But we have some trouble when it comes right down to, am I going to make it through this week with all the stuff I got to do? These kids are driving me crazy. Life is tough. I listen to the news and it's scary. I wonder about my future. I got to make a decision. I don't know which way to turn. All those sort of things. Somehow we have a little harder time processing that in a way that we wind up living by faith, not by sight. So we fill ourselves with the Word of God. Last time we were together, we were talking about walking with God. We were in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, where it talked about that we are to walk with the wise. You're walking this morning with people who are giving themselves to the wisdom of God. We need to do this together. We need to do this collectively as our families, in our groups, in our church, in our lives. So good thing you're doing today. Number three, this is where I want to get to, really. I want to spend some time here. To walk by faith, practice trust in daily decisions. Bring it down to today. Yes, and if I took a poll this morning, I'm not going to do it, but if I took a poll, if I said, how many of you believe heaven's real? I think pretty much every hand would go up. You believe Jesus was a real person? Yes. Do you believe He's the Son of God? Yes. We believe those things. We testify those things. If you didn't have some openness to that, at least, or some confidence in it, you'd probably be sleeping in this morning or doing something else. So the fact that you're giving yourself to the Word of God and time and worship indicates you believe those things. But what about that test that's coming up in my class that I'm taking Tuesday? What about the final exams that are coming up? What about that review I'm having on the job? What about that job I've applied for and an interview for that new job is coming up? When I'm trying to figure out what's next in life, maybe that's the season of life you're in, the what's next season of life. I'm going through school, or I'm right out of school, I'm starting a career, trying to figure life out. If you're in that season of life, here's what you need to do. Walk by faith, not by sight. It does not mean we check our brains at the door. We don't try to think, but we have to move beyond that barrier and say, Lord, I open myself to You. I'm going to make sure that I'm in this Word. I'm going to feel my feet on this in my heart and in my mind and come to the place that I really am listening to You, because You're the God who knows the future. You know everything. You know everyone. You know all the alternatives. You know the consequences and the blessings for the decisions I make. So if you're in that season of wondering what's next, we all are to some degree, but find Him. Or maybe you're starting out your relational life. Maybe we have some that are here freshly married, or you're wanting a relationship, or you're entering a relationship, whatever. And where is this going? What does this mean? We need to be careful we don't just walk by sight, because that can lead us in the wrong direction. It can be not ignored, but we need to come to the place that we enter into it by faith, to believe that He's leading me. And we simply just come before Him, Lord, I want what You want. I'm going to follow Your will. I'm going to follow Your leading. I pray to You for direction. I lean on You for Your insight. Now, where we get into trouble with this sight faith thing is, you know, sight is visual. Yes, we understand that. But there's part of our vision process that we don't actually use our eyes and our retinas and our corneas and our optic nerves and the brain who takes those two pictures from those two eyes and combine them together into a three-dimensional image that we see, that we're seeing right now. There's that part of our seeing which is our imagination. It can easily be manipulated. For instance, I'm a travel experiment right now. For the next 20 seconds, I do not want anyone in this room, you're forbidden to think about elephants. Nobody think about elephants. Don't think about what they look like, their trunks, their gray skin, their floppy ears. Do not think about elephants. No one, please, do not think about elephants. Do not picture an elephant. Do not imagine an elephant. What have you just done? You've thought about an elephant because that guy up there is telling about not to, right? It brings an image to mind. So there's these things that we think about that brings images to mind, and usually when they're activated by our emotions, they become so real. Well, someone said there's a bad flu virus going around, and I've got to go to work, and everybody's probably going to be coughing and sneezing and blowing their noses, and I'm going to get the flu. I just know I'm going to get the flu. I'm going to be sick, and I got that big thing next weekend and a big project after that. Everyone's going to give me the flu, and I'm going to be laying there in a fever, and I'm going to be sweating and miserable, and I can't get the doctor on the phone, and my life is about to end because everybody's sick. I hate to put that into your mind either, but I had to do something to do this. We just imagine it, and we react. I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to be worried. I'm going to be sick over this, in, at least in my emotions. What we need to do is understand that that which our mind envisions imaginatively is not the end of reality. If God wills, He can protect you from the sneeze of that guy in the next cubicle. God can get you through. He can sustain you through. He can change your plans. Lord, I'm just going to trust You. I'm not going to do the things I need to do. I'm going to wash my hands often and stay away from a few people if they got the coffees. But you know what? I'm going to trust You through it. Why? Because I'm going to live by faith to know that You have my days under control and You intend to bless me. See how that works? Our emotions create images. The images are sight. We are not to live by sight. We are to live by faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For some of you, you're in a season of raising kids. God bless you. It's tough. I assure you it's survivable. You may get out of it alive, but with some scars, but it is tough. Maybe that's the season of life you are, and you worry about your kids. Am I training them right? I sometimes feel like I'm a hypocrite. I'm telling them to do these things, which are things I really struggle with too, and all that angst and all that guilt sometimes. You know what? If you want to live by faith, not by sight, remember this. God loves your children more than you do. And sometimes that's hard to imagine, but you do. They do. He does. And He has a plan for them. And when you think about that, you begin to, like, putting those envisioned fears away and substituting with, I need to nurture them in the things of God, because that's where true confidence and happiness and joy and all that comes from. How can I do that? Some of you are empty nesters. You've kind of gone to that end. Or maybe you're kind of thinking about retirement, you know, the end of your work life. Then the question becomes, what's my purpose? What's left to do? I've struggled to get to this point. Now, what's next? What's life all about? Bring that back to God, because He knows what life's all about. Maybe it's a new opportunity for you to serve in ways you couldn't before. Maybe you can use your talents you've acquired in the work life to now use that for service for the Lord, whatever it is. So we need to bring the faith into the here and now. I've also noticed this. You know, if you're with somebody who's discouraged and they're worried and they're frightful, and you can do this, right? You ever just give them the old spiritual pep talk? Oh, it's going to be okay. Just relax. Everything's going to be fine. You can trust God. He knows all about it. I mean, He got Daniel out of the lion's den. You know, He got the disciples through the storm. He did all these things. Just trust Him. It's all going to be fine. Just relax. Isn't that easy to tell someone else? Isn't it a little harder to give yourself your own pep talk? You know, no, why? Because I'm envisioning. I'm seeing. I'm not trusting in the God that I can believe is there. I'm trusting in the things that I feel and that drive how I envision life. Maybe what we need to do is to take that same talk that we would give someone else and learn to be able to talk to ourselves that way. Man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh, yes, I am. Why? Because God's not finished my life. If He's given me breath, if He's given me this day, He's got something in it for me. Well, I'm not sure He's going to be able to provide for me. God has always provided for me. He's not going to leave His children begging for bread. He's going to take care of me. He expects us to work and be frugal and all those sort of things, but He can provide for us. Maybe we need to learn to talk to ourselves like sometimes we have the bravery and the brashness to talk to other people. And maybe that'll help us to live by faith and walk by faith rather than sight. Lastly, to walk by faith, you need to receive grace even after our failures. Sometimes it's not the future that scares us, it's the past that haunts us. Man, my childhood was so messed up and broken and just not what I would ever want it to be. It's left me with some deficits and I don't know if I'm ever going to overcome that. You know what? Jump over into the grace of God. In spite of the brokenness of this world and the trauma of living in a world that's filled with people who sin, you know what? We need to realize who we are in Christ and what He's promised us. Dig deep into the Word of God. Walk with God's people. Learn to give yourself that same talk. I'm now a child of God. Not perfect, but forgiven. I'm one of His children. Not complete, but God's still working on me. To understand that. There's also the blessing of restoration. And the great restoration project is when God took us from being sinners to being His children. Sometimes we have trouble giving that kind of patience to other people. Why are those people so sinful? Why are those people so wicked? Why do they talk that way? Why do they think that way? Why do they act that way? Why do they respond that way? Why are people that way? Can I give you the answer? Sinners are going to sin. If they don't know Jesus, don't expect any different. Maybe we should be shocked that they're not sinning more than they are. And let's face it, we as believers still have our own struggles with the same, correct? But what we need to do is say, there's restoration for that person. What they need and who they need is Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of the world. That's what we pray for. That's what we seek for. That's what we share as God gives us opportunity. And that's what some of us have found. Maybe all of us today, I don't know. You found that in your experience. You've come to Jesus. Or maybe you're here this morning and that's all kind of new. Sounds interesting. Sounds rather positive, but can I really have faith to believe that if I just believe that I'm going to be restored into the family of God and I have eternity and I'm going to go to heaven when I die and these things, these amazing things, these mind-boggling things that I read in the Bible really are going to come to pass? Is that what it's all about? Yes, indeed. And here's what God calls you to do and what He's calling you to do. To live, walk by faith, not by sight. You might say, well, that's quite a leap. Yeah, it feels like it. But it's not a leap into the dark. It's not a leap into the unknown. It's a leap into the truth, which God has already revealed in the Scripture. And people around you are living it out every moment of their lives. If you never trusted Christ, your Savior, take that step of faith. Believe in Him. If you want to talk to somebody about that, we can have that conversation. Pastor Adam's going to be here at the front. You can grab him. He'd love to talk to you. I'll be at the back. I'd love to talk to you. Maybe you came with a Christian friend or family member. Talk to them. If you need more help. If nothing else, just get a copy of God's Word and jump in and go with it. So there's an open door for you. You know, sight is very loud. It clamors for attention. And living by faith is sometimes a little quieter. It requires our intention. It requires our focus. It requires us to change our captivation by what we see and what we imagine to come to what we know is real because God indeed has said it. It demands trust, yes, but friends, here's the great thing. When we trust in Him, we have faith in Him. It is anchored to that which is eternal. Once again, verse 7. Here's where we need to end. I've given you four ways that we can connect with that, but here's the bottom line. It's as simple as this. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's my prayer. It'll be our prayer in this moment that God will help us.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.